You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome into On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined by C.J. Vogel, beat writer on Texas Football. Hey, CJ, I appreciate you joining me today. You were at practice earlier today. You then went to the press conference that Steve Sarkisian had post-practice. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We also want to say thank you real quick to our sponsor, each and every Talkin' Ball on Monday evening, brought to you by our friend John Donovan over at Longhorn Wealth Management. CJ, let's start it off here, bud, and talk a little bit about what you saw this morning. Overriding information slash takes you have based on what you saw this morning?
Yeah, I guess it really comes from Sarkisian's press conference afterward. And we got a little bit of this taste last year when we heard Sarkisian say around this time that he felt like this is going to be a team that he wanted to build. You know, this team looks like it looked, you know, how he wants it to look like, if that makes sense. And you see it a little bit more this year. You have athleticism on the edges. The safety spot looks completely new, and yet there still remains that speed and explosiveness in your running back and wide receiver room. And we look at the tight end spot. There's plenty to be excited about there as well. So I guess that really is the number one thing that I've taken away through four practices so far. Sarkisian is looking at his team very comfortably, and when it comes to the depth and also the experience and production that he's had on the field that's returning and coming in from the portal as well. Right now, you go position by position, and I know that there's some question marks at defensive tackle, maybe linebacker as well in terms of who's going to be that guy right there next to Anthony Hill, but you can look everywhere across the board. Sarkisian's pretty happy with the way that things are fitting in right now, and it's hard to blame him after a few practices.
What did Sark have to say about Manny Muhammad? Y'all reported that he had an injury and got taken off, hamstring injury. What did Sark have to say about that in his presser?
He said Muhammad left practice today for precautionary issues. He should be back Wednesday or Friday. Didn't sound like it was too serious, but watching Muhammad in practice this morning, he did not go through a full round of stretching, and immediately after they broke an individual, he departed for the locker room.
Yeah, it's clear that they're nursing a hamstring injury. It's, yep. But to your point, he wouldn't be out there in the first place if it was a pulled hamstring. So yes, it's probably some hamstring tightness, making sure things are going on. That's actually good news. I know when I talk about injuries, I'm not talking about soft tissue injuries like that, that just take time to heal. I'm talking about major injuries, knees, shoulders that are going to take months and months to rehabilitate. Right. All right. One of the other things I wanted to mention, we've got about seven or eight different things that we're going to talk about here today. Anthony Hill. And what did he have to say about him? Because I want to get your take, because what I heard from that press conference may be slightly different than you. What did you hear when Sark talked about Anthony Hill?
Yeah, the question was whether or not Anthony Hill was going to be your starting middle linebacker, which I would presume would be the Mike. Whether or not he would stay there, or you can, you know, kind of unplant him a little bit, unlock him, and use him in those different variety of ways that we saw last year, coming off the edge, up the middle, at the outside linebacker spot. Sarkisian essentially said, you know, if Texas played the game tomorrow, Anthony Hill would be your starting middle linebacker, and then added, fortunately, we don't have to play a game tomorrow, which to me thinks – that Texas defensive staff wants to try some different things out, get some different looks in at that linebacker spot to really unlock the best 11 on the field and give Anthony Hill the opportunity to use his extreme athleticism and talent to make plays across the field rather than being constricted to just that one spot in the middle. Again, you look at some of his biggest plays from a year ago, what was he doing? He was blitzing. He was coming off the edges. They used him up the middle, kind of lining up right over the center to give kind of that that notion of a blitz immediately after the snap. He's a very, very talented ball player, and to leave him at one spot or kind of lock him in, I think would be doing a disservice to him as a prospect. But for Sarkisian, it's a good problem to have because he's a great player. So I'm interested to see just how creative they get this spring because, again, right now they're still in that kind of install early phase for practices in.
Well, I think that he's going to go from being one of the guys to being the guy. Yeah. You know, he had a special role last season in that he was the young guy that got brought along, got it put in position to succeed, and did so and made the most of it, right? While Jalen Ford was the consistent force, right? Yes. He was the reliable guy. Now Anthony Hill's got a little bit of both going on for himself. He not only has to be Mr. Reliable, he may also end up, because of who he is and how good he is, he may end up being that plus player or that plus factor as well. All right. He also talked a little bit about the receivers. But before I talk about that, I want to say thank you to John Donovan, our sponsor. John is a certified financial planner who has spent more than 30 years providing investment, retirement, insurance, and estate planning services and solutions to his clients. His firm is dedicated to providing total wealth management for Texas alums, employees, families, and friends. John wants to say congratulations to the UT women's basketball team and great luck as they move to the Sweet 16 in pursuit of making their own history and winning their first national championship since 1986. Speaking of winning, Longhorn Wealth wants to offer you a free 90-minute consultation. Please call John and his team at Longhorn Wealth, 972-707-4900, or visit longhornwealth.net for your free 90-minute consultation. All right, wide receivers for you, CJ. Sark called out three of the guys, not just wide receivers, but receivers in general. The three newcomers he was asked about and was pretty point blank about, Isaiah Bond, Matthew Gold, and Amari Nyblack.
Yeah, essentially just said, I see them being all fantastic players is the word that he used this fall for Nyblack, Bond, and Matthew Golden. Hey, I wanted to say, you know, when you watch these guys in practice, you know, they each bring a different set of skills, I think. And it's very unique when you watch them run their routes. Matthew Golden is tremendously smooth in and out of his breaks. He has very strong hands at the point of attack. You rarely see him catching the back half of a football, which as a wide receiver, you know, that's very important. You want to attack, you know, catch the fat of it as it comes to you. He's shown great hands throughout the media availabilities that we have seen so far this spring. Isaiah Bond, of course, you know the 10.6, 10.7 speed, probably faster than that even. You see it whenever we talk about those deep passes. And I know we've talked about A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy in the past, but watching Isaiah Bond and just how quickly he can get to that top speed, there's a reason why those deep passes look so consistently accurate now in spring ball rather than a year ago. Really encouraging. And I think we're starting to see a little bit more of the reins being taken off of Amari Nyblack right now. Today, especially watching him run some of those deep crossing routes that he kind of made his money worth last year at Alabama. I mean, he just gallops across the field. It looks so smooth. He looks like a deer just kind of prancing across the field. Very long strides, smooth hands, and it doesn't look like when the ball gets near him, it takes much away from his stride when it goes to catching the football and continuing in his stride. So really encouraging early moments so far for those three guys. And again, Sarkisian has big plans for them, and you can see them all over the field, I would bet, when August 31st comes rolling around.
Yeah, well, we're not going to have to wait that long, and I'll tell you why. We're going to watch them soon again, most definitely on April 20th for the spring game. That spring game at 1 o'clock, I was told to please pass that on to folks planning to be in the area. I also want to say we are going to have a little gathering probably on the Wednesday or Thursday before. We'll have a little happy hour in Austin for everybody. CJ, you and I will be making an appearance there, as well as Jerry Hamilton, everybody else, and then we'll also be there on Saturday as well for everybody. A couple other notes. You and Jerry were both there today and said Jahdae Barron was running third team nickel slash star, but there was a reason for that. he's kind of guy that's just trying to slowly get back into it. It's not that he's lost a job, but who was in there instead of him at this point?
Yeah, it was Jalen Gilbo taking first-team reps at nickel at that star position. Behind him was Austin Jordan, two guys that are familiar with the position, two guys that have seen time throughout the last 2 years as well. Jalen Gilbo coming back 100% now from his injury last year, getting back into the run of things. We haven't seen a whole lot of Austin Jordan, but he has been on the field at times, especially late in ball games over the last 2 years too. So they've had time on the field. They're familiar with the star position. The two of them have, in a sense, elevated in the absence of Jahdae Barron right now. So there's familiarity. The young guys outside as well getting a little bit of looks cross-training. But right now, your 1, 2, 3 are going to be Jahdae, Jalen Gilbo, and Austin Jordan.
So Barron and Gilbo and Jordan, all three of them are seeing time at corner this spring, it sounds like, trying to raise the depth in that cornerback room. I know that was one of the questions you asked Sark, I believe, and he was when you were talking about Manny Muhammad, et cetera, CJ. So that's good stuff. What about the offensive line? Today, you and Jerry noticed that Neto Umeozulu was running first team left guard. Hayden Connor had moved to center, mostly cross training that Kyle Flood is so famous for. We can't say that Neto's unequivocally the first team guard somehow now. It looks like it's just getting through and getting reps, et cetera. But Sark had specifically good comments about one guy today that I wanted you to talk about.
Yeah, Cam Williams. I mean, he really, really talked positively about Cam Williams today. The right tackle out of Duncanville, really now stepping into that starting role, or what we anticipate being his role as the spring progresses. That's where he's been to begin the first four practices. He talked about the redistribution of his weight and kind of the reshaping of his body this offseason. You know, when Cam Williams was originally recruited and committed to Texas, the talk was, can he be able to play north of 360 pounds? And while last year we got a first taste of Cam Williams and what he could do on the football field, I thought we could, in agreement, sit back and say he played pretty well. Aside from a few pre-snap penalties, you could look at the game and the tape and say, you know what, this kid can – it belongs on the field at Texas, and the moment wasn't too big for him in his first career start. Now that he's had that time to kind of get an understanding of what it's like to condition for a full game and also go through in an offseason where he's expected to take that next jump, Sarkisian said, yeah, he's come out and he's looked great. I mean, he really changed the way his body formed and shaped this offseason. Looks like, a guy that didn't come in right next to 370 pounds. You know, he looks like he can go play down in and down out in the SEC.
Yeah, I will say this. You mentioned Sark used the term redistribution. I completely agree. And when Cam Williams came to Austin, it looked like he might be able to play tackle. He really looked like a guard physically. Okay. Mm-hmm. When I saw him a week ago Tuesday, CJ, he looked like a tackle. I don't know how 350 pounds looks sleek.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
But it you know what I mean by that, right? There's no protruding belly. There's no look unnaturally overweight, et cetera. He looks like a tackle. You agree with that?
Yeah, it's weird to say someone can fill out 360 well, but he does, you know, and he looks like he can, you know, for that matter, play basketball and look like he wouldn't be completely out of the blue in that sport. He looks like he can move very well. I also wanted to mention Christian Jones around this time last year. You really saw that body transformation immediately on the practice field whenever we were there for spring ball. Whatever it is that Torrey Becton and his staff are doing with this offensive lineman, I mean, you can see it immediately. And this year, Cam Williams is that guy where you can look at and say, yep, I know it. DJ Campbell as well.
I was going to say DJ Campbell has looked much better and trimmed down a little bit as well. He's also been able to pack pounds. Torrey Becton's been able to pack pounds on people too. Jake Majors is a great representation of that. So good stuff, CJ, and hats off to Torrey Becton as well. One other guy that is a fan favorite, in my opinion, and should be, that Sark mentioned today as having good energy. And if you've ever seen him play, you get the feeling, because every time he was in the game, he was hopping around, making a play on special teams, getting in at running back and doing something a little special. That's Trey Weiser. What did Sark have to say about Trey today?
Yeah, Sarkisian was asked, you know, which kind of guys have kind of brought that energy, kind of looked really good each four practices so far this spring. He mentioned a lot of the defensive linemen. Let me preface it with this. Alfred Collins, Vernon Broughton, Trey Moore, some guys that he really mentioned. Ethan Burke, Baron Sorrell, you know, that front unit he shouted out as well. And then he started talking about Trey Weisner. And, you know, that might not be a surprise for folks who've known Trey for a while. Bobby, you especially have been on the Trey Weisner train for quite a while. And, I mean, for good reason. Because like you said, every time that he's on the field, you see that kind of spark that he brings. It doesn't take much to go back to that Baylor game on the kickoff, see him cement a guy in the turf, get up and start dancing around and celebrating with his teammates. Right now, I think you're really going to see his fingerprint on the game in special teams again. Right now, Texas has him as their starting gunner right outside of Gunnar Holmes as well. The two gunners, which were so important a year ago with Keelan Robinson and Keaton Crawford. If you can have that kind of impact again with Trey Weisner, who's been proven to show that he's willing to go the extra mile in special teams, you're going to have a pretty special player. Not to mention, when you watch him receive the football in space in those passing drills, it looks natural to him. And this is a guy at DeSoto and Waco Connolly back in the day. You saw what kind of athlete he could be. He was a guy that made 20-plus tackles and ran for 200 yards in a playoff game at Connolly and then won a state championship at DeSoto. He does the little things, and he does them very well.
I love it because I just think the more he gets – more active he is and chance he has to impact the team, the better off the team's going to be overall. And so he's moving in the right direction, you know. It's very interesting to me that Texas has running backs that are can do a little something extra. They're not just one-trick ponies, right? And Trey is proving that at this point in time. Last year, we saw Jaden Blue do some stuff on special teams before he moved primarily to the backfield as well. So Texas has got a bunch of different guys like that. Maybe we'll
see. Hey, and it started with Roshan, Bobby.
Yeah.
Remember him. Started with Roshan. He set the standard for that room in the special teams unit.
Yep, absolutely. All right, I want to say thanks. We got a couple more questions I want to ask you, CJ. Not about the press conference, but just general questions on Texas football right now. But before I do that, I want to say thank you to John Donovan. He's a certified financial planner. More than 30 years providing investment, retirement, insurance, and estate planning services and solutions to his clients. His firm is dedicated to providing total wealth management for Texas alums, employees, family, and friends. Longhorn Wealth wants to offer a free 90-minute consultation to all Longhorn faithful to help them improve their chances of ensuring a winning retirement. Please call John and his team at Longhorn Wealth at 972-707-4900 or visit longhornwealth.net for your free 90-minute consultation to explore how he can help you achieve truly tax-optimized financial independence. And he wants to say hook them to all the folks out there as well. Hey, CJ, I've been thinking about this and wanted to find the right way to ask you. And I think this is a kind of the forum to do that. Your take right now on the Longhorns athleticism. I asked Jerry about this and got his take on the depth. I've asked you a little bit about it. Is defensive tackle the only position group where you say, look, they're just not as good as last year? Like, has Texas replaced the receivers well enough? Is the defensive back with the loss of Jaron Thompson, Ryan Watts, Keaton Crawford, has that been replaced? Is defensive tackle really the only spot? I mean, Amari Nyeblack and tight end, is that up to snuff after losing JT Sanders? Your opinion after seeing these guys a couple times this spring?
Yeah, I would say so. I think defensive tackle, despite bringing in Tiasavea and adding Alex January, you're still lacking that guy that you can rely on. I think Alfred Collins is a good piece. And I know we've seen Vernon Broughton in extended snaps a year ago. Are you going to have that depth that you had the last 2 years, really, with two guys each departing for the NFL after each season? Right now, I'm not sure. I can see four guys that I can look at and say, all right, they're going to be in the rotation, but if one goes down, how do you feel about that room? Who amongst that room is going to be that big run stopper in the middle right now? I think you're sitting with a lot of three techniques when you need a guy over the nose. And you wanted that to be Sidir Mitchell, but again, at 370 pounds, what kind of production can you get from him each down consistently? That's the big question for me, because he's not been running with the first or the second team so far. He's not been tested right now in that group against the top tier offensive linemen on this program. So that's the big question right now, is can you find someone to step up in this room, or are you going to have to rely on when that portal opens up April 15th? I think it's a no-brainer. You're going to have to add a piece here, and it's going to have to be a big body right over the nose.
Here's my thought on this, and just I think even though you lose Malik Murphy, you've got enough guys at quarterback. JT Sanders at tight end, Amari Nyblack comes in, Gunnar Helms a year older, Jordan Washington comes aboard. They're okay at tight end. Jonathan Brooks leaves. Well, you know what? You ended last season with Baxter and Blue, and they were okay at replacements. You lose these three wide receivers. That was one of the big ones going in, but then you go out and get three wide receivers from the portal, and you have some guys that are getting older, so those are going to be okay. I just really – the secondary, you add Makuba, you have some younger guys coming on. You know, I don't know what to say here other than I feel like that is – you know, there were questions – Texas had more than one question mark going into spring. I think that they really have one question mark the rest of spring, but we'll see also how they get together and work together. All right, that's going to do it for today's episode of Talkin' Ball. Appreciate you, CJ Vogel. Appreciate John Donovan and LonghornWealth.net. For CJ, I'm Bobby Burton. That's been Talkin' Ball. Hook 'em.